Since 1937, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance has been sharing the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm delighted you chose to join us today, and I pray that this program will truly be a blessing to you as you listen to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Welcome to this 79th anniversary edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. In 1937, Dad began the program, as I noted last week, on a radio station in High Point, North Carolina. And we have been on the air continuously every week somewhere since 1937. So it has been my privilege to produce the program since Dad's homegoing in the year 2000. In a few minutes, I'm going to play an excerpt from one of Dad's programs that was recorded on a 78 RPM record player. And it's a bit scratchy, but kind of give you an idea of my dad in a studio sharing the radio program with the listening audience. And then we'll have another song and then the sermon that we began last week titled Higher Ground. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the listening audience, and I pray that you would bless and encourage, that you would touch and meet needs. I pray that you would continue to bless this ministry as we endeavor to reach out to those who are lost, sick in sin, and need Jesus in their lives. Encourage the Christian, I pray. And Father, bless and help us in these days as we minister. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this second weekend of the month of August, I am in Moores, New York, at Moores Holiness Camp meeting. And what an honor it is to be here. I think it's my fourth time at this camp, and closing out on this Sunday, the 9th. And then I'll head home, and for the remainder of the month, I'll be the pulpit pastor and preacher for Flintwood Wesleyan Church in Columbus, Indiana. And I covet your prayers as we're involved there. As always, I hope you'll take just a few minutes to write us that letter of support so we can stay on your station. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or go to our website, Lohman Ministries, and give through PayPal or Venmo.
And I believe that I've received as much, if not more, encouragement this week. Beloved, to keep on preaching the old-fashioned gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ than I have in any one week. Not because the mail has been so large, the mail has been comparatively small. But, beloved, I'm glad that there are other folks that have come to us and told us how much they appreciated the broadcast and how much they appreciated the stand we took against sin. And almost every time I receive a card or letter, somebody is just begging me earnestly not to compromise. Well, beloved, if that's worrying you, you just quit worrying about it this morning, because I'm not even having the least idea whatsoever of ever compromising. I started to make it through to the city, and I'm going to preach the old-fashioned gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ as long as God will give me breath. Now, I mean that this morning. I'm not just saying that to be saying something. I mean it from the depths of my heart. And when it gets to the place where I can't preach it, I'll close my Bible, I'll resign my churches, I'll give up my radio program, and I'll go back to the mill, brother, where I was before I started preaching, because I'm not going to compromise. We're glad this morning for the privilege of broadcasting the gospel and telling the wonderful story of Jesus.
Tell me the story most precious. of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Sweetest that ever was heard.
After the service was over, I was staying with his son during that week of revival. And while we were having refreshment after the service was over, at the place where I was staying that week, I looked at that young man and I said, called him by name, I said, something happened tonight in the service that troubled my spirit. I said, when I gave the call and asked for that show of hands, your dad didn't raise his hand, nor did he come to the altar. And that young man said, I noticed that as well. And so while you were praying around the altar, I walked over to my father and I said, Dad, why didn't you raise your hand? He said, Lane, my dad looked at me and said, I didn't raise my hand. And I didn't go forward because I'm quite satisfied where I am. Do you know what happens in our lives spiritually when we reach that point? The same thing that happened to the majority of the people of Israel when they refused to possess the land. They wandered in the wilderness. And when we reach a place in our spiritual lives where we think, well, I'm kind of comfortable here. I like it the way it is, and I don't want to be moved out of my comfort zone. I don't want anything to change in my life. I'm kind of set where I'm at, and I kind of like where I'm at. When we get to that place spiritually, then we open ourselves up for any number of spiritual troubles. We'll become lethargic. We'll become lukewarm. Any number of things could happen in your life. Oh, my friend, listen, we must be willing to never get to that place. Why did Israel fail to possess the promised land? I'll tell you why. They got comfortable in the valley of Mount Paran. That's why. And they also failed to possess the promised land because of the power of perception. Look at what happened. Israel failed to occupy Canaan because of a false perception. These 10 spies had come back into the camp of Israel, and they began to give this somewhat positive report, but then they ended up by saying, but we can't take it. There is no way that we can possess the land. You see, those 10 spies perceived the giants that they had seen to be greater than the God who had already led Israel through other obstacles to get them there to possess the land. One of the great principles of being a Christian is the fact that the just shall live by faith. We're a faith-based people. If we operated by sight, we'd never get anything done. We are a faith-based people. And the Bible says, gives us that definition of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I am here to tell you that no matter where God wants to take you as an individual, no matter where God wants to take you collectively as a congregation, we must exercise faith and believe He can get us there, because there is no malevolent plan of the enemy. There is no obstacle that he could throw in our way. There is no human barrier that can oppose the move of God if God's people will just trust Him and live by faith. We've all been guilty at times in our spiritual lives of limiting the hand of God by seeing things with human eyes instead of spiritual eyes. Israel also failed to enter Canaan because they underestimated the power of God. And we do that, don't we? We underestimate the power of God. I know that the fact that we have finite minds, it's impossible for us to comprehend the power of God. But I think sometimes we do underestimate his power. And this is an amazing fact to me regarding the children of Israel, that they underestimated the power of God. I mean, just think about it for a minute. The people of Israel had to have the shortest memory of any group of people I've ever read about in the Word of God. Think about it. For instance, they're doubting right now in their history, in their life, this part of their journey, they're doubting that God can deal with a few giants in the promised land. That's what they're concerned about. We look like ants to them, grasshoppers. Let's just reflect back just a few weeks before this moment in time. Moses brings them to the Red Sea, right? Brings them to the Red Sea. They complain there as well. They hadn't been gone from Egypt very long, and they're already forgetting the plagues that he spared them from. But here they are. Oh, Moses, why did you bring us out here to the edge of this great Red Sea? There's no way to get across, and the army of Egypt is coming against us. They're going to slaughter us out here in the sands of the desert. And so what does God do? He says, Moses, stretch forth your rod. And the waters begin to churn. Now, I used to think, when I would read this story as a child and as a young minister, I used to think that path was about that wide right there. About that wide right there. And it just kind of, it was dry ground. That wouldn't be a big deal. You know, it'd dry off real quick. And they could get over to the other side. The Bible says they went over on dry ground. The Bible also says that they went over in the span of one night. Didn't it say that? One night. We are told by historians who know a lot more than I know about this, that there were probably between 2 and 3 million children of Israel. 2 to 3 million people crossed the Red Sea, span of one night. No, I don't think that would do it. You know how wide it would have had to have been? Wide enough for 5,000 Jews. That's how wide it had to be for them to get over in the span of one night. Boy, those Israelites had a short memory. They got into the wilderness, and they got manna from the heavens and quail as well. You know how much food they would have had to have had in the wilderness? 1,500 tons of food a day. In order to cook the food, remember, it's desert, it's wilderness, very few trees. You know how much wood they would have had to have had to have campfires enough to cook the quail and that which had been provided for them? 4,000 tons of wood. You know how much water would have had to come out of that rock to quench the thirst of 2 to 3 million Jews? 11 million gallons of water a day. A day. They had to camp every evening, didn't they? You know how big their campsite would have had to have been? 2/3 the size of the state of Rhode Island. But I tell you tonight, if that's how much they had to have, and that's how big it had to be, that's exactly what happened. Because they arrived there intact, the valley of Mount Paran, everything had been provided for them. They knew this is where they were supposed to be. The only thing they had to do was cross over and possess the land. You would have thought, no big deal. Look at what God has already done for us. Certainly, taking care of a few giants, sons of Anak, is no problem. But oh, the power of perception that so often creeps into our subconscious, into our spiritual minds, that prevents us from living big for God. But that brings us, thirdly, to the promise of possession. As I said earlier, there are always voices who are willing to trust God in spite of the obstacles. In spite of the problems, there are always those people who say, oh, we serve a God who's bigger than that problem. We serve a God who's bigger than that obstacle. We serve a God who can do great things in our lives if we would just let him. And these two men, Joshua and Caleb, they confirmed everything that the other 10 spies had said about the promise. And oh, sure, there are Jebusites over there, and there are Hittites, and there are giants there. There's some Canaanites, and there's some Amorites there. But it is a land flowing with milk and honey. They brought back a bunch of grapes. Just one cluster of grapes was so big they had to string it on a pole and carry it between the shoulders of two men. They said, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's the promised land. It's that which has been given to us, given to our forefather Abraham. All we've got to do is possess the land. You get the feeling that Joshua and Caleb have the attitude, I'm not going to miss this. I'm not going to let these other 10 cowards keep me from getting what God has promised me. They were people of faith. They were people of obedience. Now, I don't know. It's a simple story, simple sermon. I don't know all that God wants to do in your life. I don't know all that God wants to do in this church. I know he's done some great things in this church just from hearing you talk. God forbid that you as a congregation, that you as an individual, ever get satisfied with what God has done. I don't know where you are spiritually. As I said earlier, there may be some people right here in this service who are still in Egypt. You're still in bondage. You're still dealing with sin issues in your life, and you've never really gotten completely liberated from the sin issues in your life. And we might have some people right here in this service tonight who are just kind of on this side of the Red Sea. I don't know. Those walls of water. What if they caved in on me while I was going over? I don't know. And you may be living way back there in your faith walk, afraid to trust God. Others of you might be meandering around in the wilderness. Oh, you come to church and you're a part of a body of believers, but you're just kind of circling the wagons. You're just kind of meandering around. Nothing's going on in your spiritual life. You got a profession, and that's good, but you don't know the last time you had anything significant, spiritually speaking, happen in your life. You're just kind of wandering in the desert, waiting on the manna, waiting on the quail. Hanging out there. The promised land is right over there. But I would suspect that most of us in this place tonight, we're not back there in Egypt. And we're not on this side of the Red Sea afraid to cross over, afraid the waters might cave in on us. And we're not wandering in the wilderness. Most of us probably are camped in the valley of Mount Paran. And we can see it. It's right over there. We know that God has much more for us. We know it's been a long time since we allowed him to do anything fresh in our lives. Maybe we can't even remember the last time we exercised our faith to trust him for new things and new territory. We know. Boy, it sure is comfortable here in the Valley of Mount Paran. I sure do like it here. I got this tent just the way I want it. And I got pretty decent tent neighbors. And I just kind of like it right here. I know where I can go and get my stuff that I need to sustain me every day. And when's the last time? And I'm not here to unchristianize you. Just in the context of the sermon. When's the last time you possess some new territory? And again, I don't know what that means for you. I don't know what that will mean for you if you choose to make that kind of a step. If you choose to join the Joshua and Calebs. But I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance today. I hope the program has truly been a blessing to you. If you're looking for a church home, I'd like to recommend Faith Chapel in Carrier Mills, Illinois, or Trinity United Brethren Church in Fostoria, Ohio, one of the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association in Eastern Kentucky, State of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs, and Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity. And here in Columbus, Indiana, where this program is produced, Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, Flintwood Wesleyan Church, and then finally in Orleans, Indiana, at the First Church of the Nazarene. I hope you'll take just a few minutes to write us that letter of support or go to our website. You can write me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201, or go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through Venmo or PayPal. May God bless you, and don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.